Well, happy Sabbath, everybody. It's good to see y'all again. Feel like I was just up here. It's always a pleasure. It's an honor. Bear with me. I have a stopwatch here that I like to try to keep track of myself. So the title of my split sermon today is Be Content. Make it a daily goal. Now, I don't mind telling you, the last week or two that I've had at work, this message was a little difficult for me to work on. Because, to say the least, I wasn't very content. But I have to be. I have to be, because things are just sometimes out of your control, and you really can't do anything about it. You just do your job, do the best you can, and move on. But, you know, that is something, though, that as a prayer request, if you wouldn't mind, just sort of keep me in your prayers. There's a lot going on at work right now, so it's something that only God can take care of. And, you know, we're placing it in His hands. So, but be content. Make it a daily goal. I want you to stop, think back, remember. In your own life, can you remember a time when you were really content? There's probably more than once, but the very first time that you felt that you were really content in life. You know, I asked my wife, Charlotte, that when I was thinking of this message, and her first comment was, well, when I had our children. You know, I went to the children, but then, you know, she said, well, it's when we got married. Because that was my first comment, is when I met the woman who wanted to spend the rest of her life with me, and we were married. So after 42 years later, you know, I'm still content with that. You know, she's had to put up with a lot dealing with me. So, you know, she needs an award, a crown, you know, whatever it takes, you know, Medal of Honor, whatever, you know, to be putting up with someone like me. But, it, you know, that was one of my first thoughts, was that was when I was really content in life. Because I wasn't raised in a loving family. You know, they tried their best. They thought they knew what they were doing. But it wasn't really a loving Christian family. So could I get possibly someone to close that blind over on the my left in the back? It's rather a lot of glare coming through. Thank you. But, you know, sometime before you leave today, I'd really like to maybe hear some of your examples, you know, of what you thought of. Or things like the feast. You know, we've been talking about setting up for the Feast of Tabernacles, you know, registering and so forth. To me, anything dealing with God and God's people gives me contentment. Being here today on the Sabbath, you know, pushing the world, getting it away, and thinking, focusing on God, that to me gives contentment in my life. There's a purpose why we were born. And as we continue through these days of unleavened bread, and we're putting and learning to put and keep sin out of our life, and who we're battling against in order to do that, being Satan the devil, we have to, you know, always remember that we can be content in the fact that God is always with us, because God knows, and He's the only one that really knows our needs. And we know that He will never leave us. You know, we can be satisfied in God, knowing that He is the supplier of all our physical and spiritual needs. For our first scripture, you would turn to Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews 13, starting in verse 5. Hebrews 13, 5, where we read, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jumping over to verse 15 and 16. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. Don't ever forget to do good and to give thanks and communicate that to God. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. In verse 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect or complete in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Christ Jesus. Now, being content is something that we need to learn, and it's something we need to learn to accomplish in our life. You know, it's not like osmosis where it's absorbed in your skin. It's not something like a fragrance that you would bring in through your smell, your nostrils. You know, it's not a lotion that can be applied. And it's not something that you would ingest as a liquid. It's something that we have to understand and learn and appreciate. And it comes from God, a gift. You know, the Apostle Paul, after his conversion, he had an ultimate aim. And that ultimate aim was to know Christ and to do the will that had been placed in front of him to accomplish, God's will. In the book of Philippians, chapter 3, starting in verse 8, Philippians 3, 8. We read, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung or refuse, that I may win Christ." And he found in him, excuse me, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to be apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, which we are to do. We're not to dwell on our past of sins, things that we have overcome. We're not to dwell on that, but we're to reach forth unto those things which are before. Paul states, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And that's what we're pressing toward. That's why we're working each day through these days of unleavened bread to keep sin out of our life. We're to press toward that mark, and that mark is towards God. Adam and Eve, we've talked about before, they had the perfect environment in the Garden of Eden. You know, you can step outside and look around. This is not a Garden of Eden that surrounds us. They were in a perfect environment. There was no pollution, no trash, no litter, not the massive amount of pollution that we see nowadays. They had perfect health, perfect marriage, perfect garden, and daily fellowship with God Himself. They were happy. Yet they soon believed the lie that God had not provided everything they needed for their present and future happiness. You know, well, what do you mean, a lie? Well, that lie was told to them and made them, they believed it because that lie is what was brought to them from the father of all lies, Satan in the form of the serpent. So we think back, well, if Adam and Eve in that perfect environment, in that perfect world at that time, were not obedient in the Garden of Eden, what does that say about us in our life today? What hope is there for the rest of us apart from the spiritual insight that comes from God and Jesus Christ? We have that for us, working for us today, God and Jesus Christ and all that Christ did for us of his sacrifice. We like Paul, if you would turn to Philippians 4. If you're still in Philippians, just flip over one chapter. Philippians 4, verses 11 through 13. It says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." We find ourselves in various states in our life. Good, bad, in between. But we need to be content in whatever state we find ourselves. "I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." And so can we. We can do all things through Christ because Christ strengthens us. This is just not, again, back in Paul's time. Jesus Christ is alive as much today as he was back then. He's in the right hand of God in his throne. God is there, our Father. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. When God created Lucifer, we read in Ezekiel 28, verse 13, just the latter part of verse 12, it says, "You sealed up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." This is God speaking. "You had been in Eden, the garden of God." Lucifer, when he was created, was in Eden, the garden of God. "Every precious stone was his covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, all these gems that we read about, the beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, the emerald, all these beautiful stones, carbuncle, gold. The workmanship of your tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in you in the day that you were created. You were the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set you so. That was upon the holy mountain of God. You walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created, till iniquity was found in you." So all of that beauty, went to his head. He wanted to be greater than God. He wanted to be greater than his creator. Lucifer was in the Garden of God. Eden, the Garden of God. But when he became Satan, the great deceiver, the accuser, the destroyer, we read in Isaiah 14, verse 12 and through 14. Isaiah 14. "How art you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art you cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." That was not going to be allowed. He was cast out. God has promised to provide our needs, but he has not assured us that we will get all our wants. We have that tendency to spend our resources on wants and then worry about our needs. I can relate to that early in our life where Mr. Fike had referenced in one of his messages about when the car phone came out, the little antenna that people would buy to, although they didn't have the car phone, it made them look like they did. Well, I can remember the pagers, the car phones, all these little toys back then that it seemed like people need to have. You know, like today with people with smartphones and all the gadgets that everyone carries nowadays, you know, technology. Well, that was really a want. It wasn't a need. We didn't really need that. It was a want. But of course, most of the time when you have a want back then, it went on a credit card. You know how interest were back then. You sort of paid mostly interest on something you could have waited a few months or a year to pay in cash. So that was never a good thing. I've always wanted to go back in my history of my finances and just see how big of a credit card payment I'd made in all those years. It would probably depress me. That's why I really don't do it. But, Jesus warns us about such practices and concerns, about really spending your resources on wants instead of your needs. In the book of Matthew, chapter 6, Matthew 6, verse 31 through 33. What should we really be focused on? It says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. God knows what we have need of, whether it's food, drink, clothing, and a lot of spiritual needs that God knows that we should be asking for. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We are to be focusing. We again need to be content on things of God, not things of man. Our life should be centered and focused on our Father at all times. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know, we're not to worry about things, or we should not be worrying about things. We should be content with our life. We should be content with our calling. We're to have that daily need for God. He did not create us to survive on just one meal a day. Unfortunately, in this world, there are nations and people that they're lucky if they get a meal per day. You know, there's a lot of anguish in various countries of this world, and famine, you know, droughts, wars. But instead of having one meal a day, we're to have daily food. If you're still in the book of Matthew, just flip back to Matthew 6, verse 11. We read, Christ speaking here is to give us this day our daily bread. Well, that daily bread is not just nourishment for our body, but that daily bread is the Word of God, the spiritual bread of life. Spiritual need, that's what we need for, you know, our daily access to God. Man shall not live by bread alone. Christ said that in Matthew 4:4. I won't turn there, but in Matthew 4:4, when he was being tempted of Satan, while he was fasting, Christ was fasting in 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. And Satan wanted him to convert these stones into bread. Christ said, you shall, in Matthew 4:4, you shall not, let me just turn to it, sorry. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Yeah, we exchange things in this world. We exchange our time at work for money. We exchange that money for food we need, clothes we need, bills, various needs and wants. And that food is exchanged for strength, you know, for our body, our nourishment. But during these life exchanges, we need to remember to set our affections on the eternal treasures rather than temporal possessions, those things that are tangible that can just wear away. We must have the desire to be better and to always be growing in the character of God. Being content is having peace. Peace of mind, peace of heart, peace. But that true peace that comes from God. Only God can grant us genuine peace in our lives. In Isaiah 26, verse 3, we read, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust you in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So to be content is to have that peace. To have that peace, we need to look to God, because that's where our strength lies. In Psalms 34:14, we read, depart from evil. That's what we've been doing during the days of unleavened bread. We've been focusing on keeping sin out of our lives, departing from evil. And do good. So as we're departing from evil, we're to be doing good. It's what God wants us to do. We're to seek peace, to seek it, and to pursue it. If we want it, we have to seek it. We have to pursue it. Sounds pretty simple. But sometimes those roadblocks that Satan likes to throw in front of us makes it seem to us that we're constantly swimming upstream. But really, it's how we seek it, how we pursue it. And this is how we seek it and how we pursue it, by following what God tells us, what He instructs us to do. And we're to seek it with every ounce of effort in our body. We have to be true to that. God desires that we have an abundant life. We should be longing for this in our hearts, for it to come, and to know that it will. If we want it bad enough, we know in our hearts, our faith, our trust in God, that it will come. Eventually, it will come. Either in this life or the next. Christ overcame the world, and when our trust is in Him, we learn He is faithful to fulfill all His promises, and that is such a wonderful thing. In Philippians 4, verse 7, and the peace of God, I mean, just those words together, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, we need to learn from the wonderful examples of others, all of you, wonderful examples of others that are willing to share their stories and to help others grow. Because by sharing your stories, we're able to relate to that and also grow from that experience, growing closer to each other, growing closer to God and Jesus Christ. So that's why I said in the first part of my message, when, you know, asking, can you remember back the first time that you were content, or any time during your life that you were content? Share those stories before you leave today. You know, God's holy day plan, to me, that's another contentment in my life. The more that we understand, the more truth that is revealed to us each year from God. Those messages, you know, seeking the significance of those days for us, the importance to us and mankind as a whole. That's another form of contentment for me. And as I've already said, being here on the Sabbath, seeing each and every one of you, you know, future gods, kings and priests, you know, what a wonderful form of commitment or contentment there is in all that. You know, there is coming a time when the earth will blossom as a rose. Once again, it will be a Garden of Eden, Garden of God. That's covered in Isaiah 35. You know, we read about that during the Feast of Tabernacles. So verses 1 through 10. For time's sake, I won't turn there, but, you know, take your time to read that. So let's be enthusiastic and passionate for God's Word. We need to immerse ourselves in that, in God's Word, because we're seeking increasing our understanding, not being stagnant, but to increase our understanding. And by increasing that understanding, we increase our satisfaction and enjoyment, our contentment in life. You know, for the final verse, if you would turn to Revelations 1, verse 3. Revelations 1, verse 3. It says, blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. And each day that goes by, that time is getting closer for us, of Christ's return. So when we hear God's word and we understand it, you know, when we keep it, we obey what God tells us. This builds the contentment. That should be one of our goals, is to be content. Make it a goal. So let's remember to focus on our relationship with God. Never, ever go one day without having that relationship with God in our prayers or our study, our meditating. We're to focus on the big picture of God, because it is, it's a big picture. It's a wonderful picture of why we were born and God's purpose for creating man. Focus on being right with God. We need to be on the right side. Not the wrong side of God, but we need to be right with God. And we need to focus on serving others. If we put all of those together and we continue moving forward, seeking the truth, we will build that commitment. We will be content. And we will have accomplished that as one of our goals.